As he neared the hangar, Corrin heard blaster fire, which told him that Sheel and Ural had attracted plenty of attention with their flanking maneuver. He fished one of the explosive cylinders from the trooper's belt pouch and set the timer for 5 seconds. He slid the explosive cylinder across the hangar surface toward the biggest knot of commandos. The explosion scattered the stormtroopers, casting two over the generator cart they'd been using as cover. Corrin's gun came up and tracked strobing laser fire. He saw one trooper slowly begin a backward spin that was incredibly graceful. His herky-jerky landing brought Corrin back to hideous reality. A laser bolt caught him in the breast and pitched him into the shadows. He landed hard against a wall of wooden crates, and stars exploded before his eyes. He heard wood and glass break and a gurgle of a vessel emptying. "That smells like Corellian whiskey." His mind flashed back to the endless rounds of drinks at his father's wake. He tried to lift his carbine, but he couldn't feel its weight in his hand. Then he decided to draw the blaster pistol, and discovered his right arm wasn't working so well. That realization came a second or two before the laser fire silhouetted a stormtrooper standing over him. The stormtrooper lowered his carbine.
"It's over for you, rebel scum."
The stormtrooper crashed down beside him. A hole in the back of his armor sparked and smoked. Wedge ran up and dropped to one knee beside Corrin.
"How are you doing, Mr. Horn?"
"I'm as good as dead. I'm so far gone I smell Corellian whiskey."
"You do smell Corellian whiskey. You're lying in a puddle of it. The crate that broke your fall is full of Wyrern's reserve."
"What? How?"
Wedge shook his head as MD droids toddled over.
"I don't know."
"Consider solving that mystery your assignment while you recover from your wounds." Wedge Antilles watched as Gavin Darklighter and Corrin Horn floated all but lifelessly. He recalled his own experience in a Bacta tank. It hadn't been aboard this ship, the Reprieve, but on Home One, Admiral Akbar's flagship, at Endor. He'd been barely conscious at the time, which he saw as a blessing. Being aware but unable to do anything would have driven him insane.
"Your pilots have improved, Commander Antilles?"
Wedge turned and blinked in surprise.
"Admiral Akbar, what are you doing here, sir?"
The Mon Calamari clasped his hands behind his back.
"I read your report and found it disturbingly clinical. I decided I wanted more information. Is the picture of what happened there any clearer?"
"Not yet. The basics are the same. 3 pilots seriously wounded, 1 dead, and 6 sentries dead. A number of others have cuts and scrapes. It should have been much worse. But we got all of the stormtroopers and captured the Delta DX-9 transport they came in on."
"Hardly worth the cost, but a good thing nonetheless."
Wedge nodded. "The ones we captured, 2 stormtroopers and all 5 of the transport's crew, refused to talk. I have them in detention, isolated from each other. I've had an MDO and MD-1 droid engaged in post-mortems of the troopers we killed. With luck, something will give us an idea where they came from."
"And Talashia was evacuated?"
"Yes, sir. We expect Imperials to come looking for whatever got their people, so we set up some booby traps and other surprises for whoever follows us in there."
The Mon Calamari nodded slowly.
"What is the mood of your unit?"
Wedge pressed his back against the cool transparasteel. He just wanted to close his eyes and go to sleep.
"We're all stunned and exhausted. Losing Lujain Forge was a shock. Lujain was a fighter, so having her die in her sleep was... well, it just made it worse." He shook his head. "That makes no sense, of course."
Akbar patted him on the shoulder.
"It does make sense. We know the war is barbaric, but we try not to be barbaric in waging war. We hold ourselves to a high standard that demands we only attack legitimate military targets."
"If our enemies were as honorable as we are, we'd not be fighting this war."
"And in that, Commander Antilles, you have the core of the whole problem."
The Mon Calamari paced away from the viewport.
"When will your people be out of the tanks?"
Wedge glanced down at his chronometer. 12 hours more for Horn and Darklighter. Another 24 to 48 for Andorni Hui. I want to hold a memorial for Lujain fairly soon." He rubbed his eyes.
Gavin will be crushed. She's been helping him sharpen his astronavigation skills.
It seems then nothing can be done until at least 12 hours from now. You should get some sleep.
I can rest later.
But you will rest now. Consider that an order, Commander. In 14 hours, I want to see you and your XO on Home 1. General Somm will have arrived by then.
If I'd known I could look forward to a dressing down by him, I'd have let the stormtroopers shoot me.
Ha ha ha. Yes, he can have that effect, can't he? The purpose of this meeting is not a reprimand, however.
No?
No. If we don't strike back against the Empire, and strike back hard, they might feel emboldened to continue such activity. I don't want this to happen. General Somm's bomber wing should be sufficient for exacting retribution.
If you want Rogue Squadron to fly cover for such a mission, you have us.
That was the reaction I expected from you, Commander. Now, go and get some sleep.
Yes, sir. Wedge saluted.
Sleep it is, and dreams of retribution will be very pleasant indeed.
Admiral Akbar pushed a button on the arm of his chair in the briefing room of Home 1, bringing up a holographic image of a small world.
Our droids have double-checked the findings of the forensic team working on the stormtroopers you captured on Talasea. They confirm that the rash on three of them is Rachak Rosiola.
Wedge nodded. So they came from Rachak. But how did they know where we were?
General Somm's face darkened.
The presence of a spy in our midst cannot be discounted.
Wedge glanced at Tycho, who shook his head before replying.
Security at the base was tight. We had no unauthorized messages going in or out.
That you know of?
No, sir.
Or that you're choosing to report?
It could have been blind luck, Tycho said.
Somm looked at him.
What do you mean, Captain?
Tycho raked his hair back from his forehead.
If I'd been in command and I knew where Rogue Squadron was, I would have brought in everything I had. I suspect they just sent out stormtrooper platoons to recon uninhabited systems in the sector. One platoon found us, and the commander decided to be ambitious and destroy us himself.
Akbar nodded.
A logical conclusion. Ultimately, though, the reason the Talasea base was discovered is less important than our discovery of the source of the stormtroopers.
Wedge folded his arms. Standard Imperial response would be to move in, secure the planet, and prevent us from using it again.
Somm reached out and touched the holographic world.
We expect the Valiant, the light cruiser you ran into at Hinsara, and the Black Asp from the Chorax fight, to be used to prevent Rogue Squadron from making a quick hit and run on the Talasea Expeditionary Force. They won't be defending Rachak.
He indicated a place on the hollow where two steep mountain chains, the edges of an extinct volcano's crater, enclosed the base like parentheses.
We have information about the locations and patrol routes of the Rachak sector's ships. We believe the world called Vladette should be open to a reprisal strike, and Grand Isle, here, is the place to hit.
Corrin's first glimpse of Vladette after coming out of hyperspace was a blue ball streaked with white and stippled with dark green.
I think we ought to take it and keep it, Whistler. It looks a lot more pleasant than Fog World ever did.
Ahead of him, speeding in at the planet, two of Somm's Defender Wing squadrons of Y-Wings flew with an escort of 4 X-Wings each. Corrin and Ural were assigned to Warden Squadron, Champion Squadron, with General Somm flying lead, and Guardian Squadrons were to go in first and soften things up so Warden could sweep through unmolested. The base was situated within an extinct volcano's crater. The visual feed from Wedge's X-Wing showed 4 Y-Wings swooping in at the northern edge of the crater. Each of the craft launched a pair of proton torpedoes, then peeled off. The rippling series of explosions cast smoke, rock, and burning plants into the air. Where there had been a gentle curved dip in the volcano's rim, there was now a sharp, jagged rift. Then Corrin watched as Wedge flew in. Wedge's X-Wing plunged through the smoke.
Tighten it up, Deuce.
The laser shots from a quartet of TIE starfighters illuminated the air behind him as he came into the crater beneath the shield's protective dome. He immediately inverted and dove toward the base of the crater. Wind whistled from the S-foils. One TIE pilot tried to follow him, but the hexagonal wing slowed it considerably, and it started to dip toward the jungle carpeting the crater floor. The pilot did the only thing he could to avoid a crash. He picked up speed and shot away. Wedge hit the trigger and the quad lasers converged to blow bits of TIE fighter all over the Grand Isle landscape. Vaped one. He saw a smoking TIE slam into a crater wall, then heard Brohr's voice.
You're clear, leader.
Thanks, Deuce. Report, three. Nora Venn replied.
Four got a pair. Island is blind to my sensors.
Rogue leader to control. Champion is clear to run. Through the gap lumbered the Y-Wings to start their strafing and torpedo runs. Then Wedge heard Tycho from command control aboard the Iridane.
Control to Rogue Leader, we have trouble.
Go ahead, Control.
Two ships, Carrick-class cruiser and a Lancer-class frigate, are in our exit vector. Iridane is beginning a withdrawal.
Wedge felt his stomach fold in on itself. Lancer-class frigates had been the Imperial Navy's solution to the threat posed by snub fighters. All of 250 meters long, the boxy ships were studded with 20 gunnery towers, each one sporting a quad laser array. The X-Wings were fast enough to elude the Lancer, but there was no way the Y-Wings could outrun it or fight it. Wedge glanced at his fuel monitor. He didn't have enough fuel remaining for both a fight with the Lancer and the run home. General Salm's voice came over the comm.
Rogue leader, screen Warden and Guardian squadrons and get them out of here. Champion will buy you the time.
Negative, General. Champion will die that way. Rogue may die if we hit the Lancer and you break out.
I'm making this an order, Antilles.
Rogue Squadron takes its orders from Admiral Akbar, General.
Rogue Leader, this is Nine.
Not now, Nine.
Commander, I know how we can get the Lancer. Worst case, we lose one ship. What is he babbling about?
Easy, General. Go ahead, Nine.
Ships have to close to 2.5 clicks to get a firing solution for a proton torpedo. A Y-Wing getting that close to the Lancer will be faked. An X-Wing can get in and send targeting data to the Y-Wings. Same thing Captain Selku did in the Forbidden at Chorax. The proton torps can hit the target at just over 14.5 clicks.
That just might work. Wedge pulled back on the X-Wing's stick and started up toward the waiting Imperial ships. I'll make the run.
Negative, Antilles. Rogue leader, this is Nine, outbound. Release Warden Squadron to me.
Under no circumstances.
Release the squadron to me. I'm outbound, and I'm gonna play tag with that Lancer.
This is treason, Nine. I'll have you shot.
Wedge heard Corrin reply to Salm.
As long as it's Warden Squadron that's doing it, I don't mind a bit. Nine out.
Antilles, do something.
He's got the altitude, General. Release the squadron to him. Corrin keyed his comm. Okay, Wardens. This is how we become heroes. Timing is critical here.
Got it, Nine.
Corrin looked at his scanner. Sensors put him 18 clicks out from the Lancer. Okay, Whistler. At full power, I'll do 6 clicks in the time it takes the missiles to catch me. That means they have to shoot when I hit the 6-click mark. Looks like we're all lined up and ready to go. He keyed his comm. Wardens, on my mark. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mark, launch torpedoes! The comm came live with fire reports. As the clamor died, Corrin heard,
Warden 3, torpedoes away.
As his ship streaked in toward the Lancer, he could see strings of green laser bolts stretch out toward him as the gunners tried to track him. 12.25 seconds from impact. Corrin tossed the X-Wing into a weaving flight. Wave after wave of laser energy lashed out from the Lancer, but neither slowed nor deflected him as his snub fighter sliced through the troughs and curled around the crests. There was no missing his target. The hull of the frigate, Whistler identified it as the Ravager, was a blur as it flashed past. The torpedoes had been within a half second of catching him when he snapped up and around the Ravager. Even as they started to correct their courses to follow him, they slammed into the Lancer and detonated. The first half dozen explosions buckled the blast shields and evaporated the transperisteel viewports. Decks ruptured, and the growing fireball at the center of the ship consumed atmosphere, equipment, and personnel with a rapacious appetite. Kirtan Lor's shuttle came out of hyperspace a second before the spread of proton torpedoes hit the Ravager. The shuttle pilot frantically punched in commands on his console.
I don't know what happened here, but I'm reading a Corellian blockade runner out there and a number of Alliance fighters. I'm taking us into the Expeditious now.
The fear in the man's voice almost overwhelmed Kirtan's sense of mission.
While you're running, Lieutenant, capture me as much communications chatter as you can. Do you have any survey probes?
Launch one. But probes would only confirm what Lor already knew. The fighters were Rogue Squadron.
As soon as he boarded the Expeditious, Kirtan learned that Director Isard had ordered that he be brought to the Pyrea system immediately. The Pyrea system was one of the systems he had pinpointed as a possible candidate for rebel strikes. Borlaeus was the name of the inhabited world in that system. The Empire maintained a small base there, overseen by General Evier Derricote. Kirtan raised an eyebrow. The orders came from Imperial Center. From Director Isard? He asked Rojan, the captain of the Expeditious. Rojan nodded. Kirtan thought for a moment. Take us out of this system. If we pick up some escape pods from the Ravager before we jump, I have no problem with that. The Navy captain smiled.
Thank you, sir.
No thanks are needed, Captain. We are all in this together.
Kirtan refrained from smiling despite the feeling of power growing in his chest.
I trade time for loyalty, something I did not know how to do on Corellia. With every lesson I learn, I become more deadly to the Rebellion. The more deadly I am to the Rebellion, the more useful I become within the Empire. Usefulness translates into power, and in the Empire, power is the very stuff of life.
As Irisi, Rizzati, and Nuwaravin crowded into his quarters, Corrin pushed himself back on his bunk, leaning against the bulkhead.
What brings you guys here?
Rizzati sat down at his feet.
We just heard you were confined to quarters and could be facing a court-martial.
How are you doing?
Corrin shrugged.
I'm fine.
Irisi Dalar had brushed black bangs away from her face as she sat on Ural's bed.
Aren't you angry? To be treated like this after what you did?
Corrin was surprised to hear his own answer.
I guess I'm not angry.
General Somm has no choice but to prefer charges. What I did was pretty stupid and very risky. And I put one of his squadrons in jeopardy.
Rizzati smiled.
I, for one, want to thank you for what you did out there. That Lancer would have killed a lot of us if we tried to take it out the normal way.
The Twi'lek nodded.
The traditional Rogue Squadron way, leaving bits and pieces of X-Wings scattered around.
Irisi frowned at Nuwara.
We have a new tradition now, and Corrin's action is a glorious part of it. We've had 3 missions, and we've lost none of our pilots.
Irisi, we have lost a pilot.
Corrin scratched at his chest where he'd been shot. We almost lost 3 more on Talisea. Don't start thinking we're invulnerable.
I'm not. Even so, our kill rates and repair rates are better than ever before. I don't doubt we'll have missions that will push us to the limit, but if statistics have any truth in them, we've not been burning up all our luck on our missions.
Speak for yourself, Corrin winked at her. At the bank of luck, I've hit my credit limit. But hey, the 3 of you should be downstairs having fun. Go on, have a good time.
Rizzati stood and slipped an arm around Nuwara's waist.
We'll be going then. We'll let the others know you're doing fine.
She looked at Irisi.
Coming? In a minute.
The 2 left, obviously a couple now. Then Irisi crossed the narrow room and took Rizzati's place at the foot of Corrin's bed.
All of a sudden, it seemed to Corrin that the cabin, which was none too big to begin with, had become much tinier.
Corrin, I just wanted to let you know that I feel I owe you a debt it will be very hard to repay. I knew I wasn't going to make it. I'm not the best pilot in this unit, and I was certain I would die fighting against the frigate. And then you did what you did, and I felt as if a great crushing weight had been lifted from me.
Leaning forward, she rested her hands on his knees.
I feel very close to you now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably better than you think. She smiled.
You feel it too?
Corrin sighed. I felt it,
but I'm not sure about the wisdom of getting involved with someone inside the unit.
Rosati and Nuwara don't seem to have trouble with it. I know, and I think they're good for each other. Is there someone else?
No, there's no one else. For the past several years, my emotional life has been a bit, unstable. He let out a deep breath and rose from his bunk. Right now, though, I'm exhausted enough that I'd be no good to either one of us. She laughed and kissed him lightly on the mouth.
I accept what you're saying. Have sweet dreams.
She turned in the open hatchway and came face to face with Mirix Tarek. The smuggler's daughter smiled politely.
Excuse me, I didn't realize I was intruding. I was just leaving so Lieutenant Horn could get some rest.
He's confined to quarters, and I don't believe that order allows civilian visitors.
Mirix tapped the datapad writing in a sheath on her left forearm. I have permission to visit from his commanding officer. Mirix watched Arisi walk away, then shoved the plastic case she was carrying into his stomach none too gently.
What's this?
Mirix flopped down on Ural's bed. Wedge said you might be down.
But then he didn't realize the Bacta Queen would be here.
I figured you might like some stuff from home, so I got this little package together.
She shrugged.
I intended it as a peace offering.
Corrin opened the box. In it, he saw a half-dozen data card issues of magazines from Corellia, as well as 2 tins of spicy smoked Nerf and a bottle of Wyron's Reserve whiskey. Mirix rolled on her side and rested her head on her hand. Below the whiskey is a Rishkati. I had to substitute some ingredients, but I think it turned out pretty good. The dark brown sweet cake was traditionally reserved for birthdays, anniversaries, or other momentous occasions.
Where'd you find the Vuelu nuts to put into it?
Around. Around?
Yeah, around. There's a thriving black market in Corellian goods out there. That blasted protocol droid of yours has, or had, 2 cases of Corellian whiskey, and he's been doling it out to me in 1- and 2-bottle lots.
Corrin broke a corner of the moist, flat cake and handed her a piece. In keeping with the tradition, he said,
"We share this Rishkati in the same way we share our celebration of life." "To the celebration of life." He took a bite.
"This is wonderful!"
"Even if it was made from smuggled ingredients?"
"Even more reason to eat all the evidence. Want more?"
"Thanks, but I need to get back to the skate." She looked at her datapad.
"I have about 6 hours until I pull a run corward."
"Are we going to fly cover for you?"
"Nope. I'm using my wits and guts to get me through."
She rose and kissed him on the cheek. "See you when I get back." The hatch eclipsed her as it closed.
It struck him that while he had been relieved when Arisi left, he wished Mirax had stayed.
Wedge's feelings about the briefing on Home One had started bad and quickly went to worse. It hadn't helped that he'd had no time to pull Admiral Akbar and General Salm aside to work out some sort of compromise on Corrin's case.
The white-furred Bothan in charge of the briefing took the podium and the lights dimmed.
"I am General Lauren Crefe, and I am now going to brief you on the mission that will open the way to Coruscant for our valiant forces."
Crefe told them that the world, codenamed Black Moon, had a small base which supported 4 heavy ion cannons and had 2 squadrons of TIE fighters. The defenses struck Wedge as odd. Too much for an out-of-the-way world, but too little for a world that would put them perilously close to Coruscant. Vladette, a sector headquarters, had only had 4 TIEs on the ground, 2 ion cannons, and a set of shields, but not enough power to bring both cannons and shields online at the same time. The Bothan general went on and described his proposed mode of attack. It consisted of using the Emancipator, one of 2 Imperial Star Destroyers that had been captured at Endor, to batter down the shields. General Salm's defender wing would then go in to pound the Imperial facilities, with Rogue Squadron keeping the TIEs away from the bombers. Once ground resistance had been weakened, transports would land Alliance troops and complete the conquest.
The success of the operation was predicated on bringing the shields down. While Wedge didn't want to think General Kreefe was being stupid, his reliance on bombardment from space seemed remarkably short-sighted. After the briefing, the room emptied quickly, leaving Wedge, Salm, and Akbar alone before the illuminated podium. Admiral Akbar clapped his webbed hands together.
"So, I imagine you would like to discuss the charges General Salm will bring against Kor and Horn?"
Wedge nodded. "I think it would be best."
"Let's save the trouble. Forget the charges."
"Excuse me?" Salm held his hands up.
"If I pushed for a court-martial, I'd be a fool and Horn would sit out this assault on Black Moon. I still think the whole Rogue Squadron is out of line, but I believe things are going to go badly at Black Moon. With Horn and the rest of your pilots there, maybe things won't end up becoming a nightmare."
General Derricote, the lumpen commander of Imperial forces in the Pyrea system, fitted his face with a smile as he addressed Kirtan Lure.
"You found everything you needed for your survey of our defenses, Agent Lure."
"My security review proved satisfactory. You have done very well to keep this base secure. You also work harder than any other officer I've seen since the Emperor's death."
"I am all for the Empire. You are all for yourself."
Kirtan tapped the datapad built into the man's desk.
"I took the liberty of pulling the secret files from your datapad. You truly are an artist. You duplicate requisitions, append intricate routing tags to them, and send them off to multiple commands, each of which believes you are under its care. You have successfully drawn enough fuel and ordnance to maintain 4 squadrons of TIE fighters. Since only 2 are here, I have to assume the others are at the Alderaan Biotic site?"
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"That facility was a tax loss and was later abandoned. Since Alderaan was disciplined, the market for Alderaanian goods has blossomed. My conservative estimate is that if you've been operational for 2 years, you should have cleared 2 million credits. Your overhead is low because the Empire is subsidizing your operation." The general steepled his fingers.
Think of it as our operation."
"I could think of it as my operation, General. I do not think I could hold it for long, however. In going back over your security system, I noticed evidence of what could have been Alliance tampering with holonet messages." Derricote's eyes grew hard, and he sat up straighter at his desk.
"Bothans. They make runs at all holonet communications. I feed them data, and it keeps them happy."
The man's physical transformation surprised Kirtan. Just by sitting up, Derricote had assumed the look of a man who could run a covert agricultural enterprise.
"He wanted me to underestimate him," Kirtan thought.
Derricote touched the screen on his datapad.
"Frequency of hits and length of contact is up. Should I correlate that to your visit, Agent Lore, or shall I just assume both the Alliance and Empire taking an interest in my little home is a coincidence?"
Kirtan's eyes narrowed. "The Pyrea system is one of a number that could be conduits into the core for the Alliance."
"But they don't know about my defenses."
2 more squadrons of TIE fighters will mean little to them." Derricote smiled.
"I tell you what, son. You leave the defenses here to me. You're an intelligence officer, not a military genius."
Kirtan pointed to the datapad.
"I saw nothing in there to indicate you're a military genius, sir."
Derricote tapped the side of his head with a thick finger.
"That's because I'm smart enough to know that the only data that is safe is the data stored up here. I've anticipated a move against Borlaeus ever since I found the biotic station in working order, and I've planned accordingly. They're expecting to snuff a candle here at Borlaeus, but when they come, they'll get burned by a nova."
Korin's X-Wing came out of hyperspace in the shadow of the Emancipator. The former Imperial Star Destroyer's dagger-like profile stabbed deeply into the image of the world he knew only as Black Moon. Beyond the Emancipator, he saw the Eridane, where Tycho directed traffic control, and 2 modified bulk cruisers. The Mon Vala was home to Salm's Defender Wing, while the Korolag was the launching platform for the 8 assault shuttles that would ferry down the rebel ground troops.
Rogue Leader, I have no enemy ships on scan, but the base does have a shield up.
Thanks, Nine. Rogues, form up to escort Defender Wing.
Corrin kicked the X-Wing over in a lazy roll that brought him above the Star Destroyer. All at once, the capital ship started pulsing out salvo after salvo of turbo laser and ion cannon shots. Red bolts burned down through the atmosphere to slam into the Imperial base's shielding. The surrounding jungle began to burn, ringing the base with fire. The few working monitors in Borlaeus's underground command center showed satellite views of the attacking fleet and the fiery circle on the planet's surface. Derricote looked over at one of the technicians at the shield controls.
Shield status, Mr. Harm.
Still at 100%, sir.
Good. Begin a step back in random percentages of power. When you hit 75%, cut to 50. When their salvos slacken, go down to 20, then 5, then 0.
Kirtan felt fear trickle through his guts.
You are confident they won't level this place. They took Fladette down to the foundations.
Which is why we are below the foundations, Agent Lore.
Kirtan cringed at the sound of the blast.
I trust you know what you're doing.
As you have no choice, I appreciate your confidence.
Derricote rubbed his hands together.
If the rebels want this place, they're going to pay my price to get it.
Corrin focused on the tactical screen, then spoke to Whistler.
Their shields are failing fast. We'll be going in next.
But as Whistler's triumphant bleat heralded the collapse of Black Moon's shields, Corrin heard Tycho's voice.
Rogues, this is direct from General Creefay. You will escort the assault shuttles down to the planet. Say again, Control? Defender Wing is ready for its sweep.
The disbelief in Wedge's voice resonated in Corrin.
Rogue Leader, Creefay sees that as an unnecessary delay. The Y-Wings have been ordered home. You are to escort his shuttles in.
General Creefay's voice growled through the comm channels.
Resistance is ended. It is time to claim our prize.
Corrin's stomach flip-flopped.
I don't like this.
Nine, this channel is for military use, not opinions.
Corrin closed with the boxy assault shuttles dropping away from the Korolag, thinking, what is wrong here? The answer to his question came a nanosecond before an azure ion bolt lanced up from the ground and hit the first assault shuttle. A full kilometer above the ground, the shuttle crashed into a renewed energy shield and exploded. Whistler wailed out a warning. The tactical screen showed multiple fighter contacts heading up out of launch tunnels around the shield dome perimeter. It also reported that the shield was 200% higher than before. One ion blast sliced in at three-flight, cutting through the vector the squint should have been using to engage the X-Wings. A second blast hit the Emancipator and played over it like a thunderstorm on a prairie. A third lanced up at one of the shuttles.
Two, report!
Dead air answered Wedge's call. Tycho's voice came on through the static.
Rogue Leader, we have no contact with Rogue Two.
Damn! Pesh caught that one,
Corrin realized. He heard Wedge's voice.
Full evasive rogues. Control, get the shuttle dancing.
Corrin launched a torpedo at one approaching interceptor. Then let a second have a full burst of laser fire. The glare of lasers against his shields hid the results of his shooting, but Whistler reported one interceptor destroyed and another damaged. In seconds, he shot past the line of interceptors, rolled and dove back at them. The squints, reduced from 8 to 6, split up and moved to engage single X-Wings. An immediate problem captured his attention.
12! Break to port, now!
Anderneath X-Wing juked left, but the squint riding her exhaust stayed with her.
Weave, 12!
The Rodian sent her X-Wing into a corkscrew maneuver. And the interceptor's first shots went wide of their mark. Then the aft end of the ship came back around, and the squint's fire ripped through the engines as the ship burst into flame. Bloodlessly, Corrin vaped Anderney's killer.
Part of him wanted to cheer at having exacted revenge for him, but he overrode those emotions. He could no more allow himself to luxuriate in the death of an imp than he could afford to mourn his comrade. The Emancipator took two more hits, and the Mon Vala took one. Then Corrin saw a string of green laser bolts slicing across his flight path.
Moral hit!
Corrin whipped the X-Wing up and over in time to see his wingman ship break apart.
Ural!
The X-Wing disintegrated. He saw Ural float free, just before a piece of the fighter's S-foil sliced through his right arm, taking it off above the elbow.
Control! 10 is extra vehicle! Get someone down here to get him!
9, Emancipator reports the zone is too hot for rescue operations.
Convince them, Control!
Wedge's voice came onto the frequency.
Control, I have 3 and 8 extra vehicles. We need help here. I'm on it, Rogue Leader. It'll be done.
3 and 8, Corrin thought. That's Nowara and Arisi. 2 dead and 3 more out of the fight. A new voice broke through Corrin's headset.
Control here, Rogues. Good news. Your rescue's on the way. Bad news, we have 2 squadrons of squints coming in from Planetary North. ETA 2 minutes. Shuttles are heading to hyperspace now.
Corrin keyed his comm.
Rogue Leader, 2 squadrons of squints against a half dozen of us is going to be ugly.
He heard Bror Jace's voice.
9, if you can't handle your 4, I'll take them.
Corrin ignored Jace's jibe as Wedge interrupted.
Trim it, Rogues. We're here protecting our own. Your mission is to screen our people till pickup.
In the distance, Corrin could see the white triangular hull of the Forbidden motionless in space. The pilot had brought the ship in close to where Nowara Vin was floating, then used a rescue tractor beam to pull him inside the emergency hatch. The Corellian brought his X-Wing up and around, then flew toward where Ural hung in space.
10 is here, Forbidden.
Thanks, 9. I have the coordinates. On my way.
That's Tycho's voice, Corrin realized. Cap, is that you?
Guilty, 9. You have 4 squints closing on your position. Deal with them before I get there, please.
You got it.
Corrin shivered. The only thing more stupid than engaging 4 interceptors with a single X-Wing was flying an unarmed shuttle into a hot zone to pick up pilots. A smile slowly crept across his face.
It's only stupid if we die doing it. Otherwise, it's heroism. And I can be a hero today.
He jammed his throttle full forward. The squints took shots at him, but his evasive maneuvers made them miss. His torpedo poured through 1 interceptor and exploded, spitting shrapnel in all directions from an incandescent cloud. Knowing he was pushing his luck, Corrin rolled the X-Wing and dove after another interceptor. Whistler screeched a warning about the return of the other 2 interceptors, but Corrin ignored it. He triggered 1 burst of lasers and clipped 1 of the squint's wings, but it sailed on. The pair of interceptors were firmly on his tail.
9 here. I could use some help.
Blue bolts shot back toward the ships following him. And for a half second, Corrin felt utterly disoriented. Blue beams meant ion cannon shots, but the planet had been behind him, not in front of him. And the ion cannons on the ground wouldn't be shooting at TIEs in any event.
You're clear, 9.
Corrin brought his ship around, and suddenly everything became clear. Defender wings, Y-wings, climbed through the dogfight, blasting away at interceptors with wild abandon. What the slow ships lacked in grace, they made up for in sheer firepower. Their entry into the fight destroyed or disabled a half dozen interceptors.
They're running!
Psalm's voice came through the comm.
No celebrations. With them clear, the ion cannons will open up again. Forbidden to control. I have all EV pilots.
Then he heard Wedge's voice.
Back to base for us, Rogues.
Back to base for most of us, he means, Whistler. 2 months of prep, and in 10 minutes the squadron is cut in half. Someone made some very bad mistakes here, and our friends paid for them. Wedge wasn't certain he had heard General Psalm correctly. Did you say it was just as well that we failed to take Black Moon? Psalm nodded and pointed with a glass of pale blue Abrax cognac at the datapad on his desk.
Intelligence reports that the Imperial Star Destroyer Eviscerator left the Vinjaga system on a course that would have put it in at Black Moon within 6 hours after we launched our operation. Chances are very good we would have lost our strike force and Black Moon.
Wedge's jaw dropped.
The mission was a go with an Imp Star Deuce within 6 hours of the target? How did that happen?
I don't know. Yasani Isard has been shifting some resources around, and some admirals moved them even farther to avoid her control. It could be the Eviscerator was moved at random.
Wedge frowned.
Or Isard anticipated where we were likely to strike.
Salm looked at him over the rim of his glass.
Or someone told her where we were going to be.
Tycho was in the dark about our destination, just as the rest of us were. And he was out there without any lasers or torps pulling in EV pilots.
Salm held up a hand. Easy, Commander. I don't trust your XO, but I know he was innocent this time. I checked the logs on everyone.
A tone sounded at the door, but before Salm could say anything, the door retracted, and Corrin Horn rushed in.
Commander, you wouldn't believe...
The grin on Corrin's face died as he saw Salm and he snapped to attention.
Begging the General's pardon... Imtray just said Commander Antilles was here, sir. He didn't mention these were your quarters, sir.
Wedge could see Corrin was fit to burst.
This had better be good, Mr. Horn.
Yes, sir. If we want Black Moon, we've got it.
What?
Whistler, my astromech, collected a lot of data while we were out there, and has been running it through the programs he once used to analyze smugglers' bases for Corsac.
Salm's face hardened.
This is an Imperial base, not some bandit's hideout.
Begging your pardon, sir, but the droid found a lot of parallels to smugglers' bases, and that gives us some new options. Whistler also pinpointed Black Moon from a star chart, and is pulling up more data than we were given in our briefings. It can fall.
The Imperial shuttle Sepharium settled down easily, its landing lights strobing brightly in the Borleasian evening. Luhr saw General Derricote crest the stairs to the landing platform. He smiled.
Come to see me off? I'm honored.
Derricote returned the smile and held out a bottle.
Your visit was not as onerous as you might imagine, Agent Luhr. This is a memento.
Kirtan took it.
Corellian whiskey, Wyrin's reserve no less. It looks genuine. Is it, or have you prepared this so I can poison myself and eliminate a problem for you?
Derricote opened his hands.
It is genuine, and quite costly, but I have connections that make it possible for me to obtain it. It's not poisoned because it is given in thanks. Had you not come here, the rebels might have taken me by surprise. One of these days, Imperial Center is going to be roasted alive. Rebels, warlords, either could do the job. If you need a haven when things break apart, remember that I'm here.
Wedge felt a giddy anticipation in his belly, the likes of which he'd not known since Endor. The plan he and General Salm had concocted over the last week could work, but it was risky. The door to the briefing room opened, and Admiral Akbar entered, then settled at the head of the oval table.
What have you men woven together?
Salm punched keys on his data pad, and a starfield spun from the holographic projection disk in the center of the table.
We found a way to take Black Moon.